All right, good morning. We are going to start a new series right now talking about Old Testament treasures. Old Testament treasures, we're going to go through some of the stories in the Old Testament that you should have learned in Sunday school. And I did not learn them. I did not go to church as a kid. So I was kind of, I heard about some of these, you know, a little bit going on, but then I learned about them a little bit later. But we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath today. David and Goliath, that's one that everybody should be somewhat aware of. And it's going to talk about dealing with fear. I don't know if you had some fears in your life. I think each of us probably can get afraid of something every now and then. You know, I just had a flashback of when my daughter and I went skydiving several years ago. I remember going out that door. I wasn't totally afraid, but I was thinking, why? Why am I jumping out of this? I mean, it wasn't a perfectly good plane. I mean, it was rough, but at least it was solid. You know what I'm saying? And then you jump out into nothing. And that's what it feels like sometimes. When you don't know what's around the corner, sometimes there's that fear and can come up, and the fear of the unknown. You know, that can really get to all of us. A lot of young people making some big decisions pretty soon here, what I want to do with my life, things like that. You know, whatever it could be. So yeah, all these things kind of deal with it. So what we're going to talk about today is the fact that some people, I think, are afraid of the devil. You know, some Christians are. And so much so that they're afraid to do any kind of spiritual warfare. See, as a Christian, Jesus has given us all we need to be able to stand our ground when we get under attack from Satan. Now, fear can keep us in bondage and hold us back from God's best in our life, and God has a good plan for us. So we need to run to the battle like David is. We're going to look at that, and we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 17 that tells the story of little David defeating big Goliath. And that should be an inspiration to all of us. I'm just going to pick a few passages because it's the whole chapter is dealing with this. And I encourage you to read 1 Samuel 17 at your leisure. It shouldn't take you too long. You kind of get a bigger picture of it. But we're going to first look at 1 Samuel 17, 28 to 30. 1 Samuel 17, 28 to 30. And this is New King James Version. It says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?' Then he turned from him and toward another and said the same thing, and the people answered him as the first ones did." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to come and worship today in this beautiful building and, you know, the luxuries that we have in this world. But Lord, most of all, we know the greatest luxury is when we come to know you. That we know the plan, we know the purpose, everything that you have for our life. And Lord, sometimes we look, you know, through a mirror dimly, but Lord, we know that, you know, through the Holy Spirit being the teacher and revelation knowledge from your word, Lord, it just can give us direction that we need. Lord, I yield right now to the gift you've given me, and I yield it and I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give a brief little thing about the battle, and then we're going to break this down a little bit. Basically, you know, we're going to look and see that, you know, David's father was Jesse, and David's three older brothers had gone to war. And David had been out taking care of the sheep. And Jesse called him, and we're going to look at that, and told him to go take some food to his brothers, and also a little bit of a bribe for the captain or the commander. Took him some cheese or something. How many would take a cheese bribe right now? Amen. I like cheese myself. But, you know, and then he went there, and then he heard the things going on. And what happened is that these two armies were on two different, shall we say, mountains, but they weren't big mountains. But and then there was a valley between them. So you had the Philistine army on this side and the Israeli army on this side. And so they were just standing there looking at each other, and every now and then they'd yell at each other. And we're going to look at that and try to put fear in each other's heart. You know, trash talk, how many can, I know some people do some trash talking, you know what I'm saying? You know, some people are pretty good at it. And that's what was happening here. They tried to do this, and then, you know, then out came Goliath, the giant, and he would challenge Israel, winner take all. He's around 9 foot tall, and that's awful big. You know, he's a big man, big strong man. And he was challenging the little, you know, Israeli guys, and they were probably about 5'6", you know, and said, hey, you come fight me, and basically winner take all. If I win, you serve us. If you win, we serve you. And so everybody was scared. I mean, who would like to fight somebody that big? You know, and that's how it is in life sometimes when, you know, challenges come our way. You know, a lot of those fears, you know, we make them out to be so big, but really, they're not. Now, Goliath was big, but how many like the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? And that's what we're going to see here today, how little David was able to overcome some things. And we're going to start off on a few points here. First point I want to look at is the idea of jealousy. Have you ever had sibling rivalry in your family? You know, where you maybe, you know, you and your brothers or sisters and, you know, just kind of, you know, just didn't get along sometimes for whatever case it is, you know, and the things happen, you know. And like I mentioned, David was on a mission from his dad. His dad told him to go do this, and David went and did it, and when he was there, you know, like I said, he took some food for the commanders, kind of a bribe, and for his brothers, and, you know, David just showed up at the right time, because what would happen is that, you know, Goliath would come out, maybe once a day, I don't know, but they would come out, and then he would do this challenge, and we start to taunt, and then David happened to show up at this time, and he saw what was going on there. He could see the fear in his brothers and in the Israeli army, and you could see this big giant just cursing their God and challenging them to come out and fight, you know? And that's what was happening here. And as they squaring off at each other, you know, they were yelling, like I mentioned, they were trash talking. And this is something common they would try to do. If you could put fear into your enemy, that gives you a leg up in the battle, right? And see, that's what the enemy tries to do to us a lot of times. He tries to put fear inside of us. And see, when we're paralyzed by fear, it's hard for us to operate in the things of God. Because we got this fear on our mind. It's just saying, we're just thinking the worst case scenario. I'm not going to make it. I can't pay my bills. I'm going to lose everything. You know, all these things kind of come in and they start to paralyze us. And then what happened here was as Goliath, over 9 foot tall, and his armor weighed around 125 pounds, and the spear that he was using, the head of it was 15 pounds. So, I mean, this guy, he was a formidable foe. And that's why really nobody wanted a piece of that, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, was afraid, even King Saul. King Saul was he was taller than most of the other Israeli guys, and you know, he didn't want to go out there. And he's supposed to be the leader. You know, and he was kind of back there in the tent, just kind of hiding with the rest of them. But, you know, David, when he showed up, he was, shall we say, cut from a different stone. You know, he didn't know that God could fail him. He believed God would never fail him. Because he had learned some things along the way. How many has learned some things along the way? Amen. We got to learn a few things as we live this life. Got to pay attention. You know, if you can't do anything, at least pay attention a little bit. And so David wanted to know what was going to be done for the guy that killed this giant. Well, King Saul, you know, since he didn't want to go out there himself, he had to get it so everybody wanted to do it. Number one, if you would kill this giant, you got to marry his daughter. You know, I don't know what she looked like, but I assume she's pretty good looking. And number two, your family would be free, in a sense, free from taxes and any other obligations that you had to do. So it was a pretty good deal, you know, if you could pull this off, if you kill that giant. I mean, how many would like that never have to pay taxes again? I mean, praise God. You know, that'd be awesome. And so this is kind of what was going down. And then in the process of this, you know, David's brother, Eliab, the oldest in the family, he got angry. He got angry at his little brother. Because, you know, you remember by one chapter over in 16, I believe, that he had been passed over by Samuel to be anointed the next king. See, Samuel the prophet showed up at the family house and said, hey, I'm here to, you know, anoint somebody. You know, to be the next king, shall we say. I want to anoint him. So all the brothers, boom, 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 from oldest down, stood before Samuel, and God said, nope, 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 nope. None of them were going to be the king. You know, and it's, you know, usually the oldest kind of got some special treatment, but they didn't. They say, hey, ain't you got no more brothers? Ain't you got no more family? Well, I got one little kid. You know, one, the youngest, he's out with the sheep right now. So he, have you ever, I'm not the youngest, I was the oldest. You know, but the youngest usually has to do the worst job sometimes, right? You know, they have to go do those things. They waited, and all of a sudden then, you know, he anointed David. He poured the oil over him. And that meant that David was the chosen one. Amen? The chosen. And so poured oil on him. And, you know, I don't know about you, but nothing makes a big brother more proud than being rejected for your youngest brother, does it? Not, right? You're angry. Because you should be the one. And so that feeling was in there, that resentment. How many know that there can be resentment in family? Some jealousy. All these things were starting to come up. And Eliab demeaned David right here. He says, what are you doing watching those few sheep? Like what David was doing was insignificant. You know, and that's what people try to do to us sometimes. They think is, you know, that what we're doing is just nothing. They're trying to curse our identity and to hold us back in life. And so those are just tactics of the enemy, what he tries to do. And here comes little David, you know, who's anointed, and he's wanting to, by the horn, to get glory in the battle. Now, I want to go off on a little side tangent, just a little short one. The Bible says that Saul, when he was anointed with a flask, something man-made. But when David was anointed, he was anointed with a horn, meaning they took a horn and they hollowed it out and they put oil in it. A horn is a symbol of authority. See, Saul was man-made authority. Remember, the children of Israel had to have a king, wanted to be like everybody else. The last thing we want to do, people, is be like everybody else. You know, we might as well get that out. We don't want to be like everybody else. We want to be what God wants us to be. Well, they got the man-made king, and he failed. Failed miserably. So that's why God told Samuel, hey, I want you to go anoint the guy that I want. And they anointed David with the horn, symbol of authority. And that authority comes seeping out in his life every now and then. He wasn't going to be king for quite some time, but yet he was anointed with some power to be able to accomplish some things. And that's what we need to see. Now, what happens sometimes is that you and I will get criticism, what I call from the friends and family plan. Remember the old friends and family plan? You know, some phone carriers, cell carriers, they tried to make it so if you put these certain people in your friends and family plan, it was like a free call. But everybody else, you got to pay for that one. But see, sometimes we get friendly fire from sometimes the people that are closest to us. Not all the time. Sometimes we get encouragement. But I've witnessed and have seen that sometimes the friends and family plan will try to hold us back from what God wants for us to do. And what we need to see is we need to press on. And there's some reasons I want to throw out here why sometimes our friends and family try to hold us back. Number one, they don't want you to show them up, so they try to hold us back. You know, just like when Peter got out of the boat, they were probably saying, Peter, don't do that. You know, if you get out, we all got to get out. And say, have you ever been around somebody that's just zealous for God? They're always doing something. They're always witnessing to somebody. Tell them, you know, people about Jesus, and you're standing there sitting on your hands, and, you know, it just makes you feel like, man, what? I got to get up off my chair. I got to do something. You know, so they try to hold people back from those things. And number two is they cannot see God's plan for you. See, you know, sometimes it's hard enough to find the plan for us, right? You know, we got to stay close to God, but, you know, we can't see God's plan for everybody else, can we? You know, it's not our job for one thing. And so that sometimes causes people to hold us back. Oh, you can't do that. That's too dangerous. That's crazy. Thirdly, sadly, some people can only see us for what we were and not for what we are now. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I changed. You know, and my old friends, they could only see me for what I was. You know, and when I got saved, they couldn't hardly accept that in the beginning. Number one, they thought I went off the edge of the earth, you know what I mean, kind of cray-cray. You know, I was just into Jesus, you know. Whatever I do, I go all out. And so when I partied and lived like the devil, I was in the front of the line. Well, now I'm in a different line. You know, I'm just, you know, wanting to serve Jesus and, you know, a lot of crazy stuff, you know, and I, you know, my family even thought I was a little crazy. I mean, they probably still do. But, you know, I remember one time I was going to come home for the summer and visit family because I lived in Denver at the time. And back then, you just didn't travel as much as now. I mean, now we'll just jump in the car and go to Des Moines to eat, you know, back then. But, you know, let alone drive from Denver. And but anyway, I was going to come home, and then all of a sudden, the pastor, the singles pastor of the in the church, he challenged me. He says, "You ought to go on this mission trip with us." So I prayed about it. I said, okay, I did it. So I went to Guatemala instead of going home. Well, I guess my youngest sister was graduating from high school that year, and one of the speakers came in and talked about cults. You know, and so my family thought I was in a cult. They asked me, "Well, do you have your own money, or do you keep your own money, or you know, or does the church control your money?" And I go, "What?" You know, because this person was talking about cults and how they, you know, come in, and they was probably trying to warn the kids to be careful, the graduating class to be careful. But you know, they thought I was in a cult, and I wasn't. I mean, I was into Jesus, and you know, so we kind of got that straightened out. But you know, sometimes there can be misunderstandings. As you know, they didn't have a problem, I guess, with me when I was, you know, out doing what I was doing. You know, that was normal Brad. Well, now I'm this new person. I don't want to do that stuff no more. I want to do this. I want to go help people and things like this. And so, yeah, there's always that thing there. They can't see what God's plan was for me. And some people want you what you have, but they're unwilling to pay the price that you had to pay. You know, prayer, study, living a separated life. You know, some people want... They want to maybe, you know, I've had people, you know, when people say, "Well, I, you know, God's called me to be up here where you're at." I go, "Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's cool." They don't pray. They don't study. You know, you don't get up here unless you're willing to pay some kind of price. You know, this is a place where you change lives. Amen. Your life needs to be changed if you want to change lives. Amen. And so, anyway, that person's not here no more. But I didn't chase them away. They just chased themselves away. And but anyway, you know, it's not a pride thing. You know, the only reason I'm up here is because God tells me to be up here. You know, I don't need this to feed my, you know, ego. You know, I'm happy just spending time with God doing what I do. You know, and sometimes God calls us into things and we just got to follow him. And, you know, living that separated life is very important. Next, you know, sometimes we settle for living the dream and we're scared to chase our dream. See, most people just want to live the dream. They want to go after the things, you know, that the world has. And that's all good. But sometimes I believe that God has put a dream inside of each and every one of us. Some dream that, you know, God wants to use us to change this world. Somehow, some way to do our part that we can change this world, you know, for the glory of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we have to overcome that fear. That fear of stepping out. You know, that fear of, you know, maybe doing some things that make us feel uncomfortable. And, you know, that's very just basic nuts and bolts, Christianity, you know. But like I said, I didn't start up here. I started teaching Sunday school classes, you know, because I had to overcome fear of talking in front of people. You know, I was scared I was going to say something stupid. I didn't, you know, I just got saved and jumped right in. You know, there's no telling what could have come out. You know what I mean? I mean, I hadn't been, you know, sanctified too much. But I did, you know, get in with the right people and started doing the right things, and that really helped me in my walk with God because I was behind. You know, I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't, you know, have a lot of these Sunday school lessons imparted to me. You know, so I was behind everybody else. You know, in Bible school, they'd all been saved for years. And many of them had been raised in the church, second, third generation preachers. You know, and here I am coming from knowing nothing. They didn't know anything. but I'm a fast learner. Amen? Because I want to pay attention. Now I'm doing it for Jesus, you know, and that's what it's all about. Next passage I want to look at, 1 Samuel 17, 38 to 40. After, you know, David had said what's going to be done for the man that does this, and then he started saying how he can do it. Well, word got back to the king. Hey, we got a guy. I know a guy. He wants to go out there, and he wants to fight that giant. Well, here David shows up. Just a young little boy compared to everybody else. I mean, he wasn't even old enough to go to war. His brothers had went. His first three, and here he was down the line. And here David shows up. So then what Saul did, the king, he said, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David told Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not yet tested them. So David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five stones from that brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling which was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Here we see that the king, I mean, God bless Saul, I mean, he was wanting to help David. You know, back then if you fought, you know, you put on some armor, because you could get hit with a sword, and that armor will help, you know, deafen the blow a little bit and hopefully keep from getting penetrated, you know, into hitting a vital organ. So Saul just assumed that, you know, David needed some armor like everybody else. And, you know, what I want us to see is the fact that you cannot fight your battle with somebody else's weapons. You can't listen to somebody else on what they've done and just jump right in there and use that stuff. It has to be tested. You have to go with what you know right now. You can grow into some of that stuff, but you can't be somebody else. You can only be you. And you need to be confident with that. You need to be comfortable with that. Because God's given you everything that you need. See, these battles were toe-to-toe fighting, and like I said, armor came in handy. But see, David kind of fought a little bit differently. David's weapon of choice was a sling, which was a lot smarter when you're facing an opponent twice your size. I mean, technically, I mean, toe-to-toe fighting with Goliath would have been tough. But David had a sling, and it's like not a slingshot like we know, but it was a long sling like that, and you had two pieces, and you put your stone in the pouch, and then you slung it around like this, and you let it go. And you can hit somebody a little distance. And see, that's what David did. David knew he could do that. David knew he was good at that because he'd been testing that. He'd been out in that field all the time practicing. I mean, when I was a little boy, I got yelled at by my dad quite frequently, but one of the main things is because I would pick up rocks out of the driveway and I would throw them at telephone poles because I wanted to hit the pole and I could hit what I threw at, you know? And dad would always get mad because I was taking the rocks out of the driveway and I was throwing them over out of the driveway. But I knew I kept getting better and better and I could hit what I threw at. And that didn't come in handy for my sisters. I'm going to tell you that. You know, I'm not going to tell you some of my evil things, but I have a couple evil stories, you know. But I knew I could do that. And just like David knew that he could hit that giant. And he also had a couple past battles. I mean, he did kill a lion and a bear. You know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know about you. My opinion of sheep is very small. We were cattle people, like I've always said, but I don't know if I'd go out and fight a lion or a bear for one sheep. You know what I mean? But David did. David rescued that sheep from that lion and that bear because he knew that he was responsible for this animal that was put under his care. And see, God was teaching him that if he could take care of these animals and be a shepherd, he was going to be a great shepherd to the nation of Israel. And that's what they needed. They needed a good shepherd. Most kings usually took advantage of the people. They taxed them and done all these things. And, you know, they needed somebody that was going to take care of them. And he was willing to risk his life for that lamb. How far would he go to save his nation? You know, how far would he go? And he was not just saving his nation. He's really just also saving his family. Because if Goliath would have won, everybody would have been slaves to the Philistines. So David just wasn't fighting for the nation, he's fighting for the family. I want to ask us, how far are we willing to go to save our family from our evil oppressor? I'm talking to parents. How far are we willing to go to keep the devil out of our house? Keep the devil off our children? You know, there's so many things out there just taking advantage of our families right now. And sometimes we're oblivious to it because, you know, we just go along with the flow. We don't want to be a freak, right? You know, don't want to tell our kids, well, you know, I don't want you involved in that because it's not good for you. Well, all my friends are doing it. You know, I always had to say, would you, if all your friends jumped off of a barn, would you do that? You know? See, we got to be able to stand there, and we need to fight for our families. And one thing that we need to learn here is that we never fight the devil on his terms. You know, Satan tries to get us battle on his terms. You know, we need to fight your battle God's way. Fight your battle God's way. You know, the enemy makes us think like Goliath said, you know, send one man down and fight me toe to toe. But that wasn't going to happen. But God had a plan. God's plan was to use David. And, you know, we ought to understand that this was a thing that only David had to do. But I want us to also remember that sometimes God uses a team. We're not supposed to be out here alone. We're supposed to be with other people. We're supposed to be connected to other people. You know, we need to be humble enough to ask our brothers and sisters, you know, to lock arms with us and help us through this problem. Amen. Okay? Amen. That's just what's necessary. See, what happens is the enemy, he'll try to separate us from the flock, get us on our own, and then he'll try to tell us nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you, you know, and all these things, and try to get you off there believing the lie. And see, that way, if we stay connected, you know, to a body, a spiritual body, you know, we have other people we can depend on. Hopefully, I have somebody here today that if you went up to them, they would say, yeah, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll do that. You know they will. See, that's what we need. You know, we don't need to be off there on our own. You know, I know back in the day, you know, a lot of people used to just watch the TV preachers, and that's all fine. You can get extra stuff there. But when you're in trouble and you call that TV preacher, it's unlikely they're going to do anything. They'll say they'll pray for you. But, I mean, they're not there with you. They're not sitting with you in a hospital room. You know what I'm saying? They're not coming to your house. They're not bringing a meal to you. You need to be involved with a local body and make yourself known. This is my church. Amen. I'm here with you and you're here with me and we're in this together. Yes. That's what we need. Now, last I want to look at the idea of David when he was going up to fight. I'm going to read two passages here, two small scriptures. 1 Samuel 17:45 first says, then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Then in verse 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Okay, here Goliath was taunting him. He was cursing God. I don't know about you, but that bugs me. I try to hold back, and I know I must, you know. But don't like it when people trash talk God. You know what I'm saying? Jesus went to the cross, died for me, loved me. You know, somebody had done that. I mean, man, you know, don't trash talk him. Don't curse him in front of me. You know, because he's my Lord. He's my Savior, you know. So it gets you stirred up, that righteous anger on the inside. And then it says here that David ran to it. See, David knew that God was with him. Now, he learned in the wilderness while tending the sheep that he knew that he was never alone. He knew he was never alone. When he's out there in the wilderness just taking care of those animals, he knew he wasn't alone because David made sure his alone time was God time. We need some God time in life, okay? We're out there alone. I mean, instead of scrolling through Facebook, you know, which is all good. I mean, I'm not dissing that. But spend a little time with God. Take advantage of that time where you're not being distracted by all these other things and build up your relationship with God. See, many of the Psalms that David wrote are about David's alone time with God and what he did out there. He worshiped him while he was there. David played a harp. I mean, I'd love to play an instrument. You know, I just can't. I mean, I shouldn't say can't. I know that's a negative confession, but, you know, I just can't. You know, I have no rhythm. As you know, I'm rhythmically challenged. And, you know, and I got off beat a couple times today. And praise God, Jimmy, man, he just keeps me right back. You know, I listen and then I hear that big clap and I just fall back in line. And then a little bit later, I'm off again. You know, I'm just on my own little drift, I guess, with God. And I guess that's okay. God says, make a joyful noise. He didn't say it had to be in rhythm, right? So, but David worshiped him there. You know, do we make time for God in our life? You know, that's an important question. Do we make some time for God? I mean, don't pencil it in, man. Write it in ink. Matter of fact, go out and get a stone tablet and chisel it. You know, like Moses did, you know, something like that. And do we blame God or cry out to God when times of trouble come? You know, that's what we need to think about. We're going to have times of trouble, people. Nobody lives trouble-free for the most part. There's always going to be something come into your life that's going to try to get you off your game. Going to try to disturb you, discourage you, distract you, you know, to get us to kind of, you know, get off what we're supposed to be doing. But see, we need to make sure that we stay true. Run to God, not from God. Ask God for help. Don't blame God. All these things are important. And what we need to do is to be a lifelong learner. You know, I'll be honest, I learn more now than I think sometimes when I started out. You know, I'm still learning. I love it. You know, I read through the Bible every year. I still see things that I've never have sought before, thought I saw. Of course, as I get older, you forget things. So, man, it's like a new revelation to me, you know. I may have learned that 10 years ago, but hey, it's new again, praise God. You know, just learning those things. You know, never get to the place we think we know it all. Never think that there's no room for growth in our walk with God. Now, like I mentioned, David took it personally when the Philistine blasphemed God, and he really went into argument. You know, he said, I ain't going to have it. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, meaning I come to you with the full authority of God on my side. He didn't fight Goliath on his own. It looked like it to everybody watching. But he knew inside that he had the authority of God. He'd been anointed, and he had the authority of God to go deal with that problem. And that was a big problem. See, his righteous anger rose up, and when this pagan giant disrespected God, and like I say, I don't want nobody to go out and go fist fighting somebody over this. You know what I'm saying? If somebody says something, you know, uses the Lord's name in vain and you pop them. That's not what we're doing here today. Don't think that's what I'm endorsing. But I do think sometimes we need to stand up for what we believe is true. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We need to stand up and say, hey, you know, when people used to cuss God's name, I quit doing it now, but when they would say God and then they'd say a bad word, and I says, you better hope you don't. Because if he does, it's over. You know, God's not doing that. Amen? God's doing good things. So how do we deal with our fear? This is something that we have to really look at, because we're going to have fears every now and then. And some people have more fears than others. You know, they do. And it's going to maybe be a little different process for you. You're going to maybe have to be a little more attentive and in tune to wanting to do that. But, you know, I just want to challenge you. You can get free from fear. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. You can be free from it. You don't have to live that way. You can live a better life, having confidence in God. So David ran to the battle. See, the Bible says here, Goliath headed towards him, but David ran at him. I don't know about you. That would be something. Here you got to get in a fight with somebody, and he's 9 foot tall plus. Oh, not to mention he had his armor bearer there that would carry his shield. Now, if the guy had all that armor, how big do you think the guy's shield would be? I bet the armor bearer was a pretty stout guy. Wouldn't be your average run-of-the-mill armor bearer. Plus, the Philistine army was right behind him. So when David ran, just picture that. You're not just going after the giant. You're going after the giant's helper and the giant's army right behind him. And all your guys are way behind you. Have you ever had that? You know, Pastor, we're right behind you. This Jimmy knows what I'm talking about. He's over in the old church. Every time somebody got up and said, Pastor, we're right behind you. It wasn't 2 months and they were not there no more. They were so, either we lapped them, I don't know what happened to them, but they weren't there no more. So we'd pray, oh God, don't let anybody stand up and say they're right behind me again. You know, I mean, because usually that's a death sentence for them. They're gone. But, you know, David went out there and he ran towards the giant. To me, Goliath probably should have known there must be a little bit more to this kid than meets the eye. I mean, here this little punk kid with no armor is running right at me. But he was so proud, he didn't think anything could happen to him. See, most people run from a fight instead of run towards one. You know, I was a lover, not a fighter, right? How many said that before just so you didn't have to get in a fight, right? But see, I'm sure this confused him. And see, that's what we need to do is pray confusion to the enemy. You know, you wouldn't run at somebody that big. So David ran at them. And interestingly enough, David never killed a man before. He'd killed a lion and a bear. But he'd never killed a man before. And he ran to that battle. And people probably told him that Goliath was too big. You cannot fight him. But David probably thought, Goliath is so big, I cannot miss him. And that's how we got to do it. Bigger the target, easier to hit, right? So when the devil shows up big on your door, just know that you can hit him. Amen. You can hit him. So David took a stone and he spun it around and slung it and hit the giant right in the forehead. He went down like a rock. And then David, just to make sure, he went up and took his sword and cut his head off. And the battle was over. Just like that. He killed the giant. Then the people started chasing after him and the army fled. But see, what happened before that was for 40 days. I mean, think about that. For 40 days, that giant had walked down in that valley and had been putting fear into the Israelis' hearts. Have you ever been under attack for a while? For 40 days, lies being spoken into your mind. Lie after lie after lie. And see, that's what the enemy's tactic was. See, he was trying to speak fear. And when will that be enough for us? Are you sick and tired of the devil speaking lies into your life? You know, when are we going to say enough is enough? We got to make that decision. See, when we allow Satan to speak fear and anxiety into our hearts, then little by little, our confidence slips away. It starts to melt away, and that's what happened to the whole army of Israel. You know, in my opinion, See, they thought they had to fight by the devil's terms. Goliath said one-on-one. I mean, why didn't they all just rush him? He couldn't have killed them all. But lie by lie by lie, they kept them thinking that I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I cannot win that battle. But I do know this, if they all would have rushed him, they could have killed him. I guarantee it. But the devil had them thinking they had to do it his way. And see, that's what happens to us in our life when we listen to those lies long enough. So we need to silence those lying lips. So many people think that David won the battle the day that he slew Goliath. And he did, but really David won the battle out there in the wilderness alone with God. That's when the battle started to be won. Learning how to pray. Learning how to worship. Learning how to trust. See, preparation is never wasted time. We need to prepare for battle, people. We need to learn about our armor. You know, Ephesians 6 tells us about it. You know, those things that we need to understand. So I want to challenge us. What fear is paralyzing you today? The Bible says the word is like a rock. So we need to sling the word of God and hit that fear right between the eyes. I want you to think about that fear. Find a scripture and hit it between the eyes.
Amen?
Amen?
Get
free from that thing. So I'm not saying we always should go through life looking for a fight. I'm saying that when the enemy brings the fight, don't run away, but run towards the battle. Amen? Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. I thank you that perfect love casts out fear. And that love that we have, that trust that we have with you, that you loved us and loved us so much that you gave your life for us, Lord. Lord, we just love you back. But I know the first step in life is to become a Christian, make Jesus Christ the Lord of all of our life. Lord, I know that many times we understand Jesus as Savior. Everybody knows that Jesus died on a cross and he rose on the third day. But the Bible says if you confess him as Lord, that means master. We need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and allow his blood to cleanse us. I want to give opportunity today, if you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to, or maybe you have and you've kind of fallen back and you want to get back to where God wants you to be, I want to give that opportunity right now to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the power of your presence. Thank you for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you want us to run to the battle. Lord, we need us to step out from the crowd. Lord, we need to get out of that boat. And Lord, we need to walk with you. Thank you for your grace, Lord, your strength just being imparted to us right now. And Lord, that you put us here for such a time as this. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.